Thank you, Ray. I wonder if we could all stand together and move forward three rows, if you would, please. You know, with the beginning of one of the epistles, Paul talked about the believers being scattered across Cappadocia. That's what it kind of looked like today. We were kind of Cappadocia. So that's good. I'd like to speak to you as a family together. I know we all like our favorite seats, but soon you won't have a favorite seat. You'll have to make a new favorite seat. Good, good. I promise you, if you move closer, you won't get hurt. You'll only get blessed. We'll put the air on in the back air conditioners, and the front ones we'll leave off, so all those that are hot can sit towards the back. All those that are cold can sit towards the front. Open your Bibles while you're still standing. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. You're probably getting this worn in your Bible by now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you always have something fresh and new for us. You don't have stale bread. You told Israel, only collect the bread you need for today, because if you try to save some for tomorrow, it'll have worms in it. You're a God of fresh bread. We thank you today that, Lord, even though we may have some understanding and hear some things we already know, you have fresh bread for us today. Something to consume that makes our lives more like you. Changes our world. Puts fresh energy in our physical frame, our spirit man, enables us to reach our world. Thank you for fresh bread today. And everyone who agrees said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Just while the stewards are distributing some notes for the morning message, I'd just like to remind you that this book, Red Sea Rules, that I recommended to you, there's stock in the bookstore, so you'll be able to pick up this book. Not very expensive at all, but it is one you'll want to keep for the rest of your life, because inevitably in your journey, you will find Red Sea circumstances, and he gives some powerful insights on how to respond to Red Sea difficulties. And everybody who needs that said,
Amen.
Amen. Unless, of course, you have never have any difficulty. If that's you, I'm sure you've already been raptured, and you're just a mere apparition of you is remaining. All right. Acts chapter 27 and verse 25. The Bible says, so keep up your courage. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep up your courage.
Keep up your courage.
Keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. I have faith that it will happen just as he told me. God tells you some things in advance. He gives you some promises. He gives you some insights. He speaks to your heart in advance of something that's going to take place. Manifestation is often beyond the moment. Thank God there is manifestation in the moment. One of the things we found in Uganda here a couple of weeks ago, while we were preaching, we weren't even making an altar call or laying hands on anybody. While we were preaching, people were getting healed. Why is that? I'd like you to think about that for a moment. Why is it just during the preaching of the Word of God, people were getting healed? I mean, how does faith come?
By hearing.
By hearing. You see, it's easy to get into a conditioned program where you think, okay, if you're going to be healed, these are the 12 things that must happen in order for you to be healed. I'll tell you, God likes to operate outside our perceived conventions. One Muslim man watching the church parade through the town, and people, God's people parade through the town, he's just watching. And God healed him, and he came and gave his life to Christ. So I want to say to you, And God is ever ready to do what is exceedingly abundantly above what we ask, think, or imagine. We just need to develop a mentality and a way of thinking that says, okay, God, you're with me all the time. I'm ready to be surprised by you. Are you ready? Let's say that to the Lord. Lord, I'm ready to be surprised by you. Now, you only have the surprises if you have faith in him. If you really believe he's with you, then you can be surprised by him. In other words, you're kind of going along minding your own business, but you're trusting the Lord, walking with him, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, kind of living connected with him. And God says, oh, yeah, okay, I'm just going to bless you. I'm going to change something that you hadn't asked me about. Because God says he knows what you were going to ask before you asked it. So he could answer something before you asked it because he knows you were going to ask it. Hello? So, we've been looking at this subject of faith. And I'd like to take a quick review here. You can just kind of work through your notes there. But we spoke to you about the fact that faith is the only real way to live. When you gave your life to Christ, God said to you, basically, all right, you're done with the old way of life. The way you used to approach life, is fundamentally wrong and illegal for you now as a believer. You can't approach life that any way, any longer. You have to be not a science person, a logic person, human understanding person, read the circumstances like a set of tea leaves. No, you have to be a faith person. That's how you got in. That's how you live. For the just shall live by faith. So it's a whole new lifestyle. A whole new lifestyle demands a new mentality. It demands this mentality, the one on the wall behind me. Nothing is impossible for me. And so you might say, well, Pastor Rick, how come we're always having testimonies and people are sharing of they got healed in their body or that God supplied some money? Really, because God's trying to train us to live in the last days and to reach our world. Because living in the last days is going to demand faith. It's going to demand faith. And reaching our world is going to demand faith. So if we don't learn the lessons that we need now, we're not going to be prepared for the future. Whatever you're experiencing right now is a classroom for you to learn, so because of what's coming. Whatever you're facing right now, that's the classroom. God says this is the lesson. This is the circumstance. This is the lesson. Whether it's financial or physical or spiritual or monetary or relational or business, whatever it is, whatever is your set of circumstances, that's the classroom. Because remember, God, we all believe the steps of a righteous man, of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. So if he's ordering your steps, he's doing it significantly, intelligently, wisely, because he knows where you're going. He knows what's coming. And so he wants to prepare you for what's coming. So he teaches you, like he did Israel, through the process of their journey. And so it's vital for us to recognize that we have to learn to live in a different realm. And faith is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. If you read Galatians 5, the Bible talks about two different realms in Galatians 5. It talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. One of them is faith. It's a work of the Spirit. So if God says, you know, you're going to live by faith, it means you're going to live more in the Spirit realm and less in, hello, this realm. All of our education is designed to give you a good life based upon your education and your mind working well. And so that's how you're taught to live on this planet. Unfortunately, when you come into the kingdom, you have to learn a new way. You know, you still have your mind, and your mind is important. But first of all, you enter into a spirit realm. That's how you became a Christian. There's no simple human logic that says, yes, some guy that they said existed 2,000 years ago was nailed to a piece of wood, and that's going to change my life and give me eternal life. That's not human logic. In this world system, that's dumb. So to believe it and receive something as a result of believing it is something not earthly, it's heavenly. It's not mental, it's spiritual. It's profoundly spiritual. It is a work of the Spirit. Wherever you were in your journey when the Holy Spirit came knocking and he said, I'm talking to you. I want you. I sent my son for you. I shed my blood for you. That was a work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And so you entered into a spirit realm. When I got out of my bed and gave my life to Christ, June 6, 1963, there wasn't any other person in the room that you could see with these eyes. But I believe there was somebody else there. I believed he was there. Excuse me. So, let's kind of dig into that a little bit further. If the life of faith, if our faith journey is a life of the spirit realm, how does that work? Well, I can give you a definition of faith, and there's lots of definitions of faith, because it's a huge word and unlocks all of grace, and grace is probably one of the biggest words in the Bible. Is faith is a sense of certainty or conviction that an invisible spiritual transaction is taking place that will manifest in the visible realm. It's a sense of certainty that an invisible spiritual transaction is taking place that will manifest itself in the visible realm. Say, Pastor, that sounds like a good idea, a good definition. Can you give me a verse for that? Well, yes, I'm glad you asked. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. When you believe God, you're stepping into the invisible realm. You're stepping into the invisible realm. The invisible realm. You are counting on, persuaded, convinced that there's something going on in the invisible realm that's going to manifest in the visible realm. That's the way it works. Let's see if the Bible corroborates this idea. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So God's command is what created the universe. So what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So when God spoke, there wasn't anything but Him. There wasn't anything but Him. So when He spoke, the visible came forth out of the invisible. And that's the nature of faith. It's the persuasion that I have a physical problem in my body, but I believe in the promise of God that Christ took my infirmities according to Isaiah 53. He bore them so I wouldn't have to bear them. So He's my healer. Lord, I believe You that You're my healer. And when I just not just know it in my mind, but when I actually believe it, I enter this spiritual realm. Lord, we're making this exchange. Then what I can't see with my eyes, I can't see some spirit activity actually kind of coming down and changing that, but it's manifested in my physical body. I stop limping, or the pain goes away. There's a manifestation in the visible realm because there's been an invisible realm transaction. That's what we want. God is invisible. He's invisible. So He makes these transactions and He says, I got all this stuff ready in the storehouse of heaven to make an invisible transaction as soon as you believe. And when you believe, shoo, there it comes. There it comes. And so it's vital for us to recognize that it is primarily in a spirit realm. You know, I've often thought, as I was sharing with you, how when I go to many other nations, it seems like the number and the kind and the frequency of miracles is greater. And it is my perception that this is true fundamentally because individuals who, number one, don't have a lot of other options. We have options here, don't we? Don't we? Come on now, let's just be honest here. We have options. Trouble comes, we have an option. You know, there's one that appears on your television screen on a regular basis, and it says, quick quid. You're laughing. You know that ad, huh? Quick quid. Is that from heaven? So, but you know, that's the nature of the world we live in. We got options. So we can get some quick quid. You know? Joy now, pain later. I mean, pay later. At 2013% interest. And for so many other things that we face in this life, in our Western world, we have options. At least something to try. Even if it doesn't work, we still... It's easy for to live at that level. But that's not the way God designed us. If you're a Christian, he says, I don't want you dependent on this world. I want you dependent on me. The just shall live by faith in the... No, not... Faith in the Bank of England. And, you know... No, just shall live by faith. And so all of us are learning to apply this new lifestyle to every part of our existence. Every part of our existence. It's amazing how you can have some success in this area, but listen, over here, you've got 15 insurance programs that cover any possibilities that might... You see... God is great. He's a great teacher. He'll take you where there's no way forward without Him. You may not be there now. You may be coasting along and everything is fine and so on. But there comes a point where you can't progress in some realm of your life without Him. And that's good. That's good. So you got to kind of... All right, yeah, this is the life. This is the adventure of faith. So they couldn't get out of Egypt unless God helped them. Moses believed God, so God helped them. And so all kind of 10 plagues took place in Egypt, and God kind of helped them out. Helped them out of Egypt. Then they no sooner got out of Egypt than God led them. The Bible says God led them. God led them. God's leading you. He's leading me. Where's He leading me? He's leading me. Well, not, please, no, thank you. Let's try some other route. You know what he told Israel? He said, when you get out, I want you to camp at a certain place. I'd like to suggest to you today, some of us are camped at a certain place that God placed us while we await our deliverance. If we're going to camp there a long time, it means basically we don't hear God. If it's a short time, it's because we hear God. We hear God. And let me tell you, the longer you wait, the more you accommodate. The longer you wait, the more you accommodate. So, first of all, faith thinks. On page 4 in your notes, faith thinks. You have to be a faith person. With your mind. You say, but Pastor, a minute ago you were telling us it's fundamentally our spirit. Absolutely, it is fundamentally your spirit. But God didn't leave your mind in a drawer. He wants your mind to be subservient to the information that comes into your spirit. You see, the world says, what comes into your mind, that's what's important. So we're going to educate you. In order for you to have a career, we got to put a whole lot of stuff in your mind so you can function at a higher level than you could in ignorance. So God says, okay, I want you to learn to live differently in the kingdom. I want you to learn to receive information not from this earth, but from heaven. And part of the information of heaven is in your Bible. It's on what's on your lap. Those are God's thoughts. So when you receive those thoughts, you're receiving information from heaven. It's coming into your mind. So all of us learn to embrace a new mentality, a new way of thinking. Otherwise, what's the point in having a Bible? So a few weeks ago, I said all of us should embrace this mentality. Nothing shall be impossible for me. How many of you were here? And the rest of you kind of wish you weren't here, okay? All right. And I challenged you. I said, if I got you a button that said nothing is impossible for me, would you wear it? Yep. Several of you said you would. Yes. Well, guess what? I got you one today. Yes. Now, there's only one thing wrong with this button, and that is that some of the women might not like it. Because it attaches to you by a pin. So we'll get another one that attaches to you, you know, by super glue or something else. And then it won't be impossible for you to get it off, because nothing's impossible for you. But you can take this, and I challenge you. Stick it on and wear it. Wear it every day to work. I guarantee you, if you don't get people asking you about it, you'll at least get some funny looks. Oh, that guy, he's, what's he been drinking, you know? What's he on? But that's what it says, nothing is impossible for me. Is that what he says? So if that's what he says, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel, then I should be willing to wear this. Because the whole world's looking for one of these. They're looking for somebody who believes that nothing's impossible for them. So that's what I'm saying. It's getting a new mentality. It's a new mentality. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't know if people start... Okay, what is that? What's that? What if? Hallelujah. I hope they say, you know, my mother-in-law's ill. And it says right there that nothing's impossible for you. Yes. Would you heal her? Yes. And so you speak up just like Solomon did. Wise man that he is. Absolutely. I'm going to speak right now and God's going to heal your mother-in-law. So it's a way of thinking. I grew up in my Christian life thinking that Christian life was following Jesus because you love Jesus and you want to do what's right and you want to go to heaven. I had no mentality that embraced the life of faith, releasing God, who is supernatural, in every part of my journey and helping others to do the same. I didn't have that mentality. So, I want to say to you today, if you're not some chicken little, if you're not some, if you're, I got one for you. Hello. I got one for you. Are you still ready to wear it? Oh, some of you are like, well, do I have to wear it? Do I have to wear it in public? No, just wear it in the shower. You see, what this does, it requires you to first of all tell yourself the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. And it challenges often our history. Because if we're honest, if we sit here today, we think, well, yeah, I kind of accommodate this and I've accommodated that. And now I'm trying to learn a new way of living. That's what God's trying to teach us. Because we're coming to a time in redemptive history where the world's going to get a whole lot worse than it is, and it's shockingly bad now. So learning to live a life of faith is embracing a new mentality. So faith thinks. God, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts." So if we're going to get his thoughts, which he says are from heaven and not from earth, we have to get a hold of his thoughts. And the way you get a hold of his thoughts is not by owning a Bible, but is by reading the Bible. And as Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9 says, it's by meditating in the Bible. Meditating. Meditating in the Bible. God said to Joshua, who had a huge job, the previous generation had gotten out, but they hadn't gotten in. And so God comes to Joshua, the second generation, and he says, Joshua, you're going in, and the way you're going to go, the way you're going to succeed with this hugely impossible task is by meditating in what I've said. Meditating. He says, don't let it depart from your eyes. You know, sometimes people say to me, Pastor, how do you read the Bible? Well, read it from cover to cover. That's good. Get to know all the Bible stories. But for your daily devotional, for the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, get a small passage, excuse me, and meditate in it. Meditate in it. If you read 10 chapters every day in the Bible, the chances are most likely you'll gain some information about that. But it's only when you take a verse or two and you read it over and over and you stop and you think and you listen. And then the Holy Spirit goes, "Whoo! I've never seen that before. Thank you, Jesus." What's happened? You didn't have just ink on a page that slipped inside of you. You had the voice of the Holy Spirit say, "That's for you. That's for you. You understand what I'm saying." And so it's developing this kind of mentality. It's not enough just to know the scriptures, to know all of the books of the Bible to recite by heart, to all the basic stories behind the law and the prophets and the Pentateuch. Not enough. It is a word spoken from heaven. But is getting that material into your mind so that the Holy Spirit has something to quicken. I was talking with a pastor yesterday, and he says, you know, in his particular country in Africa, there's lots of miracles, but no word. And he said, really, the miracles that are taking place are kind of demonic in nature. And he says, the danger is that people are kind of following along, thinking that just because they saw something supernatural, that it is of God. But the Bible says the last days there will be lying signs and wonders. In other words, not things that are fake in that they are just sleight of hand and tricks, but they're actually miracles. But they're not pointing to Him. They're pointing somewhere else. Actually, look in the story of Moses. Moses gets the job of getting Israel out of Egypt. He goes to Pharaoh and he says, "Oh, by the way, just so you know who I am, watch this." He takes his rod, throws it on the ground. It turns into a snake. And Pharaoh goes, "All right, guys. All of his best witch doctors said, match that." So they took all their sticks, threw them on the ground. So there's a whole bunch of snakes on the ground now. So you've got something from heaven, something from hell. But the one from heaven became a python and swallowed up all the others. And then he picked it up and it was a stick again. So it's so important that we have the Word of God in us so that we can not only do miracles, but discern the nature of miracles that are in front of us in the days to come. So it's having a certain mentality. This Matthew 17:20 mentality is cultivated by meditating in the Word of God. Number two, faith hears. It is this certainty of hearing. You know, there's lots of voices in this world. But when you become a Christian, you got to say, all right, yeah, there's lots of voices, but there's one voice I can't afford to do without. You know, as a boy growing up, I heard lots of voices. I heard the voices of my friends at school, my friends that I played with in the neighborhood. I heard voices that came on the radio. We didn't have TV. I know, I don't look that old, but even when TV was out, we didn't have one, for whatever reasons. So I heard the voices on the radio. I heard the voices of my teachers. I heard the voices of shopkeepers. I heard all kinds of voices. But I can tell you, to this day, there was one voice that would penetrate walls, and that was my dad's voice. He never yelled. I don't remember him ever yelling. And he had eight kids. Hello. He never hollered, Moses. He never hollered. But he would come to the bottom of the stairs and just say, Sydney, Sandy, Becky, Ricky, Debbie, Peter, Paul, it's 5 o'clock, get up. Eight people just went, became, you know, instant. Out of bed, clothes on, you know, everything done. His voice had a way of penetrating your life. If his voice didn't penetrate, something else would be applied. So, what am I telling you? I'm not telling you just a funny story about my childhood. I'm telling you is that there was significance to his voice. He used to come sometimes to the back door when we were all playing in the neighborhood, making lots of noise, and he'd just stand there and say, Rick, you and Mike, come rake the garden. All the hollering going on, we heard it above it all. And we had rakes in our hand in a short bit of time. And what God is trying to do with us is train us to shut the other voices and put significance on his voice. Significance, great significance. So we can get used to hearing him. And say, okay, Pastor, your faith comes by hearing, and I got to hear more. I can't be dull. I can't, because the Bible says if you're dull of hearing, you're kind of hard-hearted. In other words, you're kind of living by your own heart instead of God's heart. So I don't want to be dull of hearing and hard-hearted. I want to have sensitivity to God, to his voice. I have to yield my life. Yeah, but what if I don't like some of the things that God says? That's the person you used to be, not the person that he made you to be in Christ. So one of the ways, let me just give you a little practical step here to enlarging your sensitivity, is once again something that doesn't seem to make sense. And that is to pray in tongues. The Bible says in verse 20 of Jude that when you are praying in the Holy Spirit, you are enlarging your faith. Faith comes by hearing. So how does that work? When you're praying in the Spirit, this is Spirit activity. This isn't you praying through your mind. It's one of the reasons why you get baptized in the Spirit early on. So it once again affirms and confirms and aligns with this whole notion that our life is a Spirit life lived on earth. So when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you don't understand what you're saying. It is, the Bible says, my spirit prays. So when your spirit is praying, and it is the Holy Spirit and your spirit praying together according to the will of God, the Bible says. It is this union, this partnership, that enlarges your sensitivity so you can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. One time I was facing a very perplexing problem, but I had responsibility in this realm, and that was going to be in very short order. And so I was kind of thinking about my responsibility, but in the back of my mind, I had this thing going on. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, you ever had issues that were kind of hanging, but you got the current tasks you got to do? Never happened to most. Okay, that's me. So I'm praying in the Spirit about my current responsibility, that God would direct me about my current responsibility. Lord, this is my agenda right now. Would you help me with this? So I'm praying in the Spirit. And as I was praying in the Spirit, all of a sudden a thought came into my mind. And this thought in my mind, I recognized was the voice of the Lord. And it was so exciting because it was a word on what was going to resolve that situation that I wasn't allowed to think about right now, supernaturally. And so I went ahead and did what I was, and God helped me with that. And then when I got home, I did exactly what He had told me when I was praying in tongues, and the miracle happened. So what I'm saying is that God's trying to teach us to live life sourced from heaven. Sourced from heaven. Faith comes by hearing. Well, faith also sees. It sees. Faith sees the finished product. You have a picture of something. So you think it might be just purely incidental that God said to Israel, okay, by the way, I know that I said I was going to lead you out of Egypt, and I'm going to lead you into what's called Canaan, or another word for Canaan is the promised land. So what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you send 12 spies to look over the promised land. And they're going to come back to you with verbal pictures, because they didn't have smartphones then. They're going to come back to you with verbalized pictures of the promised land. And so that's what happened. Is that they had never been there. They'd only known oppression and servitude and slavery and hard times and, you know, no solutions. And they came and they brought their report. Wow. It was a great land. It was a land of milk and honey. It was a land that's just as Moses described it to us. Stunning. And they brought back a little fruit. So big it took two men to carry it. Why? God's a master teacher. He doesn't waste anything. He says, I want you to see something. Before you step in it, I want you to see it. 1 Corinthians 10, 9 and 10 says that all these things happen to them for our learning and instruction. Everything that happened to Israel is for our learning and instruction. So God says, I'm going to teach you the ways of faith. I'm going to give you a promise, and then I want you to see it. Because whatever you see and whatever you continue to behold, you'll move that direction. Now, you know what I'm saying is true, because it's already operational in your life. This world understands this principle oftentimes better than believers in the kingdom of God do. We call it advertising. Hello. And so you're sitting down to watch your favorite program on TV, and up comes one of those annoying adverts. And it's a food advert. And, oh, you ate 2 hours ago. Hello. But when you see that picture of what it is on the TV screen, now, can you eat a TV screen? No. You can't. Yeah, hallelujah. He said, not yet. We'll leave that. You can't eat a TV screen, but you look at it, and if you watch the whole 90-second advert, just before it ends, you're on your way to the kitchen. Come on now. They advertise something, and you moved toward it. You may not have had McCain's chips in the fridge or whatever it is they were at, but it moved you because of your eye gate. So God gave us this, and I started this whole thing a year ago when I was talking to you about image and how we're drawn to images. And so the last days is image ridden, because the devil knows if he can get your image making part, he can get you. It's called your imagination. It's just amazing. Amazing. So it's seeing it. So God says, I want you to survey, look out, spy out, have a look at, and bring back these verbal pictures, these verbal images to the rest of Israel so everybody can be talking about it. Whoa, what we saw. Whoa, okay, that's where we're going. Yeah, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. Woo! And so you can get excited about what you haven't yet experienced because you've seen it. You've seen it. You see, our world says, no. You don't allow yourself to get too excited about anything you haven't experienced. We'll tell you something, and you know, because it may not happen. You know, the economy might fall through. So when you get into the experience and you're actually having this experience, then you can get excited. Faith sees. Faith sees. So, God says the same to us. He says, I want you to see something. I want you to see something you can't see with these eyes. I wanted them to see the land of promise. I want you to see the promises of the land. The land of promises. Where's the land of promises? Fundamentally, it's here. The land of promises. It's the land of promises. So that's why you have to see them. Do you see yourself well? Do you see yourself blessed? Do you see your children negotiating through schooling and coming out the other side strong in Jesus? Doing well. Can you see that? Can you see things fixed that right now don't seem to be fixed? Come on. Can you see that? That's what the promises do. All my children shall be taught of the Lord. That's a great promise. That's a great promise. That's a great promise. Can you see that? Well, yeah, but right now, Pastor, they're kind of, you know, messing with stuff that shouldn't be messing with. Well, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? You know, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27 says that Moses persevered because he saw him who is invisible. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? He saw him who is invisible. How did he see him? With eyes of faith. With eyes of faith. So you have a situation, a circumstance, a dilemma, a problem, some trouble, whatever it is, you got to change the picture. You know, we all do this. If you're watching something on television and you don't like what comes on there, probably most of the time, you don't like what comes on there, what do? You change the channel. You would say to somebody who came in here and said, you know, I've been watching 16 hours of solid television that I hate. You'd say, you need some medication. I just hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Well, why are you watching it? Why are you watching it? If you hate it, why are you watching it? Well, it's what I do. That's life. Watch the channel you hate. You'd say, no, don't be foolish. What channel you been looking at too long? Because that starts affecting your thought life, your emotions, more significantly, your spirit life. And you find yourself moving downward. Change the channel. Put a different picture in your face. Put a different picture in your face. Great testimony of one young man. He lost several family members. They died. He got the same disease they had. And he was remembering all the funerals. He's got the same disease. He'd cried all the tears he could possibly cry over the loss of his loved ones. And he now has the same disease. Now, what channel is he going to watch? Hello. It's a choice. It's a choice. He decided to change the channel. And there was only one place he knew he could get a different channel. He had to go to the God channel. He had to go to sky. He had to go here. And he went here. And while he's lying on his bed dying, he's changed the channel. He changed the channel. Change the channel. He's just watching this program. By his stripes, I was healed. I like this channel. This is good. This is really good. By and by, what he saw was his body. What he was looking at was reality. And he was miraculously healed without anybody praying for him, simply because he changed the channel and he was feeding his inner man with a different picture. A different picture. So God's trying to tell us, all right, you're looking at something. And you know, this is the way that you can tell you're looking at the wrong channel. This is so simple, but so powerful. If you don't get anything else out of the message today, get this. The way you know you're looking at the wrong channel is what's happening to your emotions. When you're going down, you're looking at the wrong channel. It's the wrong channel. It's the wrong channel. When you're going down, it's the wrong channel. Change the channel. Change the channel. See, that's why God gave us negative emotions, I believe, as a signal that something is not right. You see, before sin, there wasn't any negative emotions. Nobody was sad or angry or upset or disturbed or depressed or discouraged. They didn't have any of that. None of it. So when your emotions start going, just say, okay, I got to change the channel here. Dad, I'm with you. Maybe I'll just go in the toilet for a minute if I'm at work, or I'll go somewhere. I'll just go for a walk. I got to change the channel. Got to change the channel. Faith sees. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, in the ESV, it says, when I behold him, when I look at him, something miraculous takes place. While I'm worshiping Him, I'm beholding Him. What the Bible calls the glory of God, the character, presence, and power of God begin to invade my being. And this transfer takes place. God comes into me and He starts rearranging, changing, transforming, sanctifying, filling, renewing, enabling. That sounds like a mystery. Yeah, it is a mystery as far as this world is concerned. But it's something God describes. He says we're transformed into His image by the glory of God. Now, I understand this principle. I tried every way I could think of to fix myself. Have you ever tried that? And you know why you didn't succeed? Because God didn't want you to fix yourself. Because if you could fix yourself, you wouldn't need the fixer. Hello. So you got to come to the point where you say, okay, God, I got some stuff that needs fixing. I'm smart enough now to know this lever can't change its own spots. It's got a miracle. It's got to be a miracle. And so when I was filled with the fear and the dread and the self-loathing and the depression was so regular because I couldn't think my way into being a better person, God said, come and do what it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Just look at me. Just worship me. Just worship me. What was I doing? I was changing the channel. I had been looking at myself, and that was pretty discouraging. And I had a lot of help from the devil, because he was saying, well, you know, Rick, you're no good. You're this, you're that. And I was saying, yeah, you're right, 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 you're right. I hate this channel, I hate this channel. Yeah, you're right, you're right. I hate this channel. God says, change the channel. Just look at me. Look at me. Worship me. But this doesn't... How does that work? You see, and that's why oftentimes people are subtly deceived into thinking that the worship part of the service isn't important for them. And you are deceived if you think that. Because the most important thing you can do in your life is to worship Him. Worship isn't just what we do in here on a Sunday, of course, but it's so important. If you don't worship Him, the glory doesn't come to transform you. We're all in this process of continual transformation. Make me different, make me different. Make me more like You. Help me, Lord, to see, to hear, to think, to have discernment, to see the way of life, to hear the word that comes from heaven. Lord, I just worship You. I just worship You. I worship You, Lord. I worship You. Yeah, but what? How does that fix anything? Do you have to understand something in order to be obedient? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so it is changing the channel. Changing the channel. My last point, faith speaks. Faith speaks. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. If you have a heart of faith, a heart to believe God, you're meditating in the Word of God, trying to think the thoughts of God so God can quicken one of those to you and cause faith to come forth. If you're seeing the picture of God, then you should speak consistently with all those things. So 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, it is written. Everybody say, it's written. So Pastor Rick didn't make this up. It is written. I believed. Everybody say, I believed. Say it again. I believed. It says, I believed. I don't talk about Ed Weirdo Canty. I believe Ed at past tense. What does that mean? I believe the word that was written. I believe past tense the word that was written. When did that happen? When you gave your life to Christ. When you gave your life to Christ, you believed. You believed. I believed. And he says, therefore I believed. He says, I believed, therefore I kept it to myself. I believe, therefore I was careful. No, he says, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Do you know everything started with speech? There was nothing before God spoke. So if you want something different, you've got to speak it. That's why I told you the first step of faith is to say no. Don't just say, oh, I wish I didn't. No, say no. So you have to learn a different speech, different mentality, and a different speech. And so the Bible says with that same spirit of fear, no, with that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. You know, it's so easy to think, well, okay, you know, the economy's not so good. You know, they're not so, I don't have so much skill. And, you know, I got aches and pains. And, you know, my hair's falling out. And, you know, you can say a lot of things that are not the spirit of faith. Remember what I said in the start of this message? Faith is connected to the spirit realm. So the spirit of faith, and if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the spirit of faith in you, you have to speak it. So whatever trouble you face right now, you're going to say something about it. You're going to say it on the inside, and maybe on the outside. So what are you going to say? Well, you know, my history. Forget your history. That's not the spirit of faith. That's your memory. It's not serving you very well. You got to say it. So your job's coming to an end. What does the spirit of faith say? I got a better one coming. I got a better one coming. Yeah, but Pastor, how do you know that? That's a really good question. How do you know you have a better one coming? Well, you don't unless you get a promise. You don't unless you get a promise. And you won't unless you get a promise and mix it with faith. So you got to speak. Now, let me just add a little twist to this. Because I know sometimes this is really difficult. Have you ever found it difficult to make a faith statement about something that seems so difficult and so hard? Of course you have. But faith operates in the world of contradiction. Everybody say contradiction. Contradiction. And here's contradiction. I'm a son of God. God Himself, God Almighty, lives inside me. But my body's sick. Is God in heaven sick? Hello? Come on. Stay with me. Is God in heaven sick? No. Is God on earth sick? No. Oh, some of you weren't quite so quick with that. So if it's the same God that's in heaven, is the same God in me, and I got a sick body, that is a contradiction. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3 that Jesus endured such contradiction. Something against logic. And, you know, the original is kind of an interesting word. The original Greek word is contra logikos, or contrary to logic. It doesn't make sense. And that's where faith operates, because our world is, we live in a world of contradiction. That's the world we're living in. And so if we're going to live in this world, we got to go against the logic of this world. Here's the logic of this world. Now, you're getting old. Der. And when you get older, you know, you can start to kind of deteriorate. That is the logic of this world. Anybody agree with that? So what is the contradiction of faith? Well, the contradiction of faith is Moses was 120 and his eyes weren't dim. Hello, under a lesser covenant. So we have to learn to speak something that's contra or against the logic of this world. Now, you say, Pastor, that's one verse. Well, here's another one. I think it's Romans 4:18. The Bible says it's about Abraham, your dad. It says, against all hope. Let me just translate that into another word. Against all the science of his day, Abraham believed. Let me tell you, there's something in you that's greater than all the stuff of this world. And that is your faith. Your faith comes against all that is of this world and enables you to live above it. Against all hope. Anybody could have come to Abraham, and maybe they did, we don't know, and said, well, look, you know, you're 100 and Sarah's 90, and you had this promise, and you've been calling yourself Abraham all these years, and, you know, her womb was dead, you couldn't produce, and so it's just not going to happen. Against all hope, Abraham believed. So many people, the science has said, that's it, you're done, you're finished. There's nothing that can be done. And that's when you say, oh no, I got something inside of me. I got something inside of me that's bigger than all that's against me. And I know when I believe, all that goes away. And I have what I believe. Faith operates in the realm of contradiction. And so every day of our lives, we're experiencing some contradictions. Every day. Every single day. And that's why God gave you faith. That I gave you something to stand up against when there's no hope, when there's no help, there's no science, there's nothing that can fix it. I gave you something to will work, and that's your faith. That's your faith. That's your faith. Jesus himself was a contradiction. The only pure, holy, kind, good person ever to walk the earth in himself, and he was murdered for it. That's a contradiction. So what's the Bible telling us in Hebrews 12 and verse 3? The one who endured contradiction, he did it in the greatest sense of being contradicted, so you and I could do the same. You and I could do the same. Stand to your feet this morning. Danny, would you come and get these pins? You want one of these if you want to wait for one that's got a different mode of attachment. Stand by the door back there, and don't stampede him now. But I want us to pray. I want us to pray right now, because I know while you've been listening to the message today, you've got something that's contradictory. And the devil says to you, listen, the devil says to you, yes, but. And how many times? And I've told you my story many times. I suffered in my back for 17 years. And so I had this record going on and on and on and on. How many times you've been prayed for, and you know. And so I kept listening to the record. Listening to the record. And nodding inside, yeah. So it's just one of them things. The gospel of one of them things. Just live with it. And that's when I heard God's voice so plainly. Rick, he's saying, no matter yesterday, you only ever have one option. And that is to believe me. And I said, okay. Okay, you're the boss. You're the boss. You're the boss. And I stood up. And 17 years of pain and agony left my body permanently. What I'm saying to you right now is, you close your eyes right now. This isn't just a message of information. I'd like you to take a decision today that you're going to think and see and speak and act against what opposes you. What has robbed you of joy or health or increase or blessing? What has stabbed you so many times? In your heart right now, hear the word of the Lord that you heard earlier. God is greater than all these things. Through him we are more than conquerors. And so, Father, we hold out our heart with our hands right now. We hold out our heart with our hands. We thank you that you are a faithful God. And you knew as we would come into this meeting today what we were going to hear and what we would focus on right now. Right now. So, Lord, we change the channel right now as we're standing in your presence. We change the channel. We're looking at your provision, your healing, your deliverance, your transformation. That's what we're looking at. Because we're looking at you. And we thank you right now, Lord, that even as we stand here in your presence, we can receive from you. We can receive from you. Because we're standing at the throne of grace. And the throne of grace is the place where that transfer happens. And so right now, as your eyes are closed, I'm asking the Lord right now to cause that transfer of grace to come right now into your body, into your wallet, into your family, into your marriage, into your business, into your soul, in that moment, in that place in your soul that has been so... I'm just asking that transfer of grace right now into your soul, into your soul. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive grace, favor, help, provision, healing, wholeness, soundness of mind, transformation. Thank you, Lord. Old habits just falling off of us. Oh, we're looking at you today. Standing there smiling at us, releasing favor and strength and help. Just as you did last week as we prayed. And the woman testified that God fixed something that had stabbed her so long. She was freed. You're the same Lord today, right here in this meeting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive from you right now. Yes. Yes, yes. I'm just going to walk between the aisles and I believe as I walk between these aisles, as I was praying early this morning, Lord, said, I just want you to walk between my people just as my representative. This is my representative. And as you walk between my people as my representative, I'm going to release my favor among my people. And so that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just walking between you. The favor of God is here. It's here right now. Amazingly, wonderfully. We sang it this morning. He's great in Zion. Zion, God's people. Oh, the great one is here. There's grace. There's favor. There's healing. There's provision. There's wholeness flowing right now in this house. I see him reconstructing what's been broken. I see him pouring oil on people's heads. I see unexpected finances coming from the throne of grace. I don't know how, but I see it coming. Whoa. Thank you, Lord, for that favor that is flowing right now from the throne of grace, the throne of favor. I get the word reconciliation. Perhaps that's the grace that's flowing in your circumstance right now. Reconciliation. Oh. Legal issues are being resolved right now. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see children with their faces turned up toward heaven, and the glory of God is upon them. Thank you, Lord. The mystery of the flow of your favor, the flow of your power. Thank you, Lord. Oh. I see a rearrangement of internal parts. Oh. Yes. I don't know the science of what I'm talking, but I just see the Spirit of God just kind of rearranging some stuff in your body so that it functions like His glorious body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And what you're sensing right now, this is the realm of faith. This is the spirit realm. This is the realm where the Lord says yes to you. All His promises are yes and amen. Thank you, Lord. Ray said we would give thanks today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for grace flowing right now to me, to each one of us. Whoa. Thank you for heaven on earth. You told us that's what we're to claim when we pray each day. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for heaven flowing to us today. Now, if you're a faith person, and I believe you are, you will go from this meeting thinking, seeing, speaking, acting in faith. You know, when you touch heaven, it's kind of hard to get used to earth again. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Hug 9 people before you leave today.
Thanks for that, Pastor.
You're welcome. Okay.